Hello and welcome to Potternims, a Harry Potter podcast about Wizarding World words. My name is Al, and I'm a giant nerd. With me is my co-host and brother.
Hi, I'm Eric, and I'm not quite the Harry Potter geek or word nerd that Al is, so most of this will be new to me. Obviously, there will be spoilers.
Each week, I'll choose a Wizarding World word and tell you all about why it is so awesome and clever. So whether you're like me and you know most of this already,
or you're like me and most of this is a surprise,
I hope you learn something that will add to your enjoyment of this phenomenal fantasy world.
For the first time ever, we're doing a continuation, a sequel. Get ready for Hogwarts Textbook Authors Part 2.
I love the delivery there in the intro.
Thank you.
Psyching us up.
Right?
Who knew there were...
That's better.
or we can insert crowd cheering noises. All right. Well, yeah. So, I mean, there's so many textbooks, I imagine, in the Wizarding World. Mm-hmm. So we've previously, it's been a little while.
It has. It's been quite a while.
Since we talked about, I think we talked about maybe three or four textbook authors. So hit me. Who are we talking about today?
Well, not to downplay this episode, but in the first episode, the first part, I did kind of handpick the best author connections.
Uh-huh.
So these ones, while appropriate, are maybe not quite as spot on as those were, but they're fun anyway.
Sure. Okay. Well, we may have to draw some loose connections here.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's start with the Standard Book of Spells. And there's one for every single year. So Standard Book of Spells, grade one, grade two, whatever.
Uh-huh.
By Miranda Goshawk.
Goshawk.
Yes. Goshawk.
Okay.
So this is the standard textbook for all charms classes, where you learn the wand movements and the words to say spells.
Okay.
So Miranda comes from the Latin, and it means worthy of wonder.
Yeah, for sure. Charms are very wonderful.
Exactly. Yes. She writes about wonders, literally, that people can perform.
Yeah. Okay. Not too far of a stretch there.
No, not too far of a stretch. I would say, you know, maybe I downplayed it too much, but they're not quite. If you go back and listen to the first part, they're like really spot on. So,
yeah.
Well, let's go on to the last name then.
Yes. It's a fun last name.
So a goshawk is a very large, powerful hawk bird. You know, she's teaching people to use their power, like it's a powerful hawk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought you had said gosh hawk.
I probably did because it's spelled G-O-S-H-A-W-K. So
yes.
There's an S-H in the middle there.
But separate syllables.
Yeah, goshawk or goshawk, yes. I actually have seen it also pronounced gotchalk. Gotchalk. Which is kind of fitting for somebody who writes school textbooks.
Yes.
You know, like, you got some chalk there for the chalkboard to write down notes on my book.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go for the stretches here, right? So, like, I mean, are there some charms that have to do with flying in this book?
I'm sure there are, yes.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
You know, birds fly. Hawks are birds.
Mm-hmm. Big bang boom.
Big bang boom. Done deal.
There you go. It's totally fitting.
Yeah.
All right. Book number two.
Number two.
A Magical Theory. By Adalbert Waffling.
Oh my. Oh.
Yes. Okay. This is a great name, just how it sounds.
Adalbert.
Adalbert, yes.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. So Adalbert is Old German. Adal means noble or aristocratic.
Mm-hmm.
And Bert means bright.
Okay.
Bright, shining, noble guy.
Yep.
You know, and he was a well-regarded guy. He was noted for coming up with the fundamental laws of magic.
Oh, yeah. Super smart.
Mm-hmm. And then Waffling English word, you know what waffling means?
Like not making a decision necessarily?
Exactly. Kind of unable to make a firm decision.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a slightly better connection in that he wrote magical theory. And theories are kind of all just conjecture or educated guesses, yeah, not really firm facts necessarily.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm thinking about magic, theorizing, but I'm waffling a little bit. It's theories, you know?
Well, that's almost good because that ties back into the first name of being like a smarty pants, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much of a smarty pants that you recognize that these are theories that you're waffling,
right,
and you're wanting to go through the scientific process to
mm-hmm.
come to some actual firm conclusions eventually.
Yes. All right. We're making that one work. Next. All right. Let's go on to number 3. Advanced potion making by Libatius Borage.
Ooh. Okay. I mean, yes, straight away, the first name sounds very fitting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. So that comes from the Latin, and it means libation,
mm-hmm.
which you probably think of as like a drink, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
But it basically could be any liquid that's typically offered as a ritual offering to the gods.
Okay.
So it could be like wine or it could be like oil that they would offer. And it's come to be more of just like any drink.
But. Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very fitting because
mm-hmm.
a potion is a liquid.
Exactly.
And you're trying to appeal to the gods, the magic to create, to have something happen for me.
Yes.
Basically.
And then borage, this is an English term. But you probably haven't heard of it.
I haven't, no.
Yes. It is a kind of edible herb or plant that has blue flowers and you can like throw it in your salad and it has some medicinal qualities. It's kind of thought to bestow excitement or courage.
Yeah. Could potentially be used as an ingredient in a potion.
Exactly. Yes. Mm.
Cool.
So you put them together, you've got this potion ingredient, this herb, and you're talking about, so it's like an herbal liquid that has some sort of effect, whether it's courage or something else, yeah, on the user. That's basically what a potion is, right?
Right. This person was born to write advanced potions.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he was not particularly highly thought of.
Oh, no.
His book was a little hard to read. And then this is the book that's in the Half-Blood Prince that Snape has made all these improvements in the book. Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah, no, do this instead. Like, use half that one amount that he says, or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw in this extra ingredient, it'll work better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, advanced potions with the subtitle maybe being, we're still figuring this stuff out.
Right, exactly. We're advanced, but it's still just theory, right?
Yeah.
No. And then before I move on, I just wanted to mention that Libatius Borage also wrote another book that isn't fitting with his name, but it's a fun title. He also wrote, Have Yourself a Fiesta in a Bottle. yes.
A fiesta in a bottle.
Uh-huh.
Is he talking about like how to brew beer or something?
I don't know. I think it's probably another like potions book somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A fiesta in a bottle.
Yes. He was South American, so.
Okay.
Fiesta. Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
All right. Next one. This one is called The Dark Forces, A Guide to Self-Protection.
Oh, okay.
By Quentin Trimble.
Ooh, okay.
Hmm. So Quentin Trimble, beyond being a textbook author, was also once a Hogwarts headmaster.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's his claim to fame. So Quentin comes from the Latin quintus, which means fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very similar to quindecim, which means 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And Trimble was the 15th headmaster of Hogwarts.
Aha, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe tenuous connection there, but I'm going with it.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it.
And then Trimble is also kind of a tenuous connection here. What does Trimble sound like?
Tremble?
Yes, exactly. So tremble, to shake. When you're scared of dark forces,
yes.
Maybe you tremble with fear.
I like it. Yeah. Very good.
All right, last one. Home life and social habits of British muggles.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. By Wilhelm Wigworthy.
Wigworthy. I love the alliteration in this name.
Right? Yes, the alliteration is strong with this one. So Wilhelm comes from the Old Germanic. Will means will or desire.
Yeah.
And Helm is a helmet, protection. Uh-huh. So it means the desire to protect. So this one, I'm kind of connecting it in that, like, he's writing about muggles, which were often completely unknown to wizards, like how people live without magic. What? Yeah. So maybe he's kind of writing about them to protect them, or he wanted to protect muggles by educating witches and wizards about them.
Okay. Could sure. Be. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Oftentimes, things that are unknown to you oftentimes appear or seem more scary, or you want to disassociate right. from them. And once you learn a little bit more about someone, or you're some animal or something, you realize, mm-hmm. oh, like, these, you know, they're not as scary as I originally thought.
Yes, exactly. Nice. Yeah. And then his last name, Wigworthy.
Yes.
Yes. So this is like a compound word, wig and worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of tried this one in being like, oh, you wear a wig to disguise yourself. So maybe he needed to disguise himself so he could sneak into the muggle world and learn about them. Disguise his wizardiness. Yes.
To observe them in their natural habitat.
Exactly. I shall don this wig and go amongst the muggles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting. I thought of it in a slightly different way. I thought of it more in when I picture wigs, especially to do with the UK, I picture those in power in Parliament wearing wigs, or judges wearing wigs. And by being called wig worthy is almost a way of saying you are worthy of having the power or the status to don a wig and be one of us, kind of thing.
I like it.
So I'm not sure if that, I guess to write a textbook like that, I'm not sure if that really ties in the two much, but that's where my brain went.
Uh-huh. Well, I suppose that, I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking maybe that is a habit particular to muggles. This wigs on judges, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I feel like the previous author should have been named Wilhelm.
Desire to protect.
Desire to protect.
Yes. Yeah, that would be more appropriate than 15th.
Yeah.
We'll just mix it up, right?
Right.
The Dark Forces, a Guide to Self-Protection by Wilhelm Wigworthy, which would lead Home Life and Social Habits of British Muggles by Quentin Trimble.
Yeah. Well, nice. Some fun names. I feel like this is an opportunity for J.K. Rowling to have a little bit more fun with coming up with names that don't necessarily have to fit perfectly, but roll off the tongue in a fun way so that you can kind of throw those in these less crucial to the story, little Easter eggs almost, you know?
Exactly. All these guys, you basically only read their name once in the letter you get from Hogwarts every year saying what books you need to buy, you know?
Yeah.
They're all pretty fun names, regardless of how closely they actually work with their subject matter.
Yeah.
They're all fun to say.
Yeah. Well, which one is your favorite?
Ooh, I think I like Adalbert Waffling.
Yeah, that was mine too.
That was pretty good, yeah. Nice.
The second you said Adalbert, I was like, whoa, I don't think I've quite heard that specific name before. Mm-hmm. And then Waffling was just the cherry on top.
Right? Yes. And I didn't even mention waffles. Like, yeah.
In the morning, I'm making waffles.
Adalbert Waffling and Cornelius Fudge. Those two names are really funny.
You gotta start a bakery.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Waffling and Fudge.
Waffling and Fudge would be a great niche bakery to start in the UK that is Harry Potter themed.
Right?
Oh yeah. My goodness.
That would be really fun.
Someone write up that business plan.
Right? Love it.
Well, on that note, these were very fun fun names, Al.
I'm good.
Yes. I can't say I remember reading or hearing them ever, so.
These are the more obscure textbook authors. Yeah. Except for Miranda Gosock. She's pretty mentioned a few times.
More evidence that there are just so many names to talk about in this series and this universe. So make sure you're subscribed. We have more names. We have more creatures and places and spells to talk about. So subscribe and check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Potternims for reminders when new episodes drop.
You can also find us on YouTube, where we put up animated versions of our episodes and shorter clips from them. And if you want even more clips, extras you can't find anywhere else, check us out on Patreon. Our supporters have a library of over 100 extra bonus clips there at patreon.com/potternims. Well, until next time, I'm Al.
And I'm Eric.
And this has been Potternims.
All right. Nice.